how much difference one letter makes. GM, for example, that pair of initials means either General Motors or General Manager. Now add an O, make it GMO, and now it becomes nearly universally known as genetically modified organism. Genetically engineered is the alternate version. The prospect of human-made changes to crops and the food supply concerns many people. There have been many votes on either GMO practices or labeling of them, generally at the statewide level, as in California recently. Jackson County, Medford, Ashland & Company will vote on a countywide GMO crop ban in the May election, Measure 15-119. 15 is the county number alphabetically, 119 is the measure number. We'll begin our coverage of spring election issues with this measure, starting with the pro side. We'll talk to the opposition on a future show. Three guests join me in the studio. Chris Hardy is one of the chief petitioners. He's the director of GMO-Free Jackson County. Elise Hakely is the director of Our Family Farms Coalition. And Leno Rose Avila represents farm workers around the region. Thank you all for joining us here on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thank you for having us.
Chris Hardy, let's start with you. What got the ball rolling here? I mean, lots of people have concerns about GMO. Why address this on a county level and how?
So pollens know no borders, and we've heard Dr. Carol Mallory Smith speak of this, a weed expert for Oregon State University Extension. And so it's really important to understand that pollen can travel many miles, and this can put our farmers who are growing seeds across the region in harm's way, to where their seed crops may be worth nothing according to their markets. And non-genetically engineered seeds and organic seeds are, as we're seeing with the global market here with alfalfa and with wheat in eastern Oregon, that farmers are losing thousands, if not millions of dollars due to shipments being turned back at the port before being received on the international market. So it's really important for us to look forward and ahead here. And we do have a multinational corporation growing genetically engineered sugar beets across the region. And so this is for seed, which produces pollen, which, again, are a direct conflict with the method of farming that predominates the Rogue Valley, which is not genetically engineered.
What is the concern that of the changes that could take place if the pollen does, in fact, get blown downwind into another farmer's field?
Well, the implications are that you would have to have your seeds tested, and those would have to go to a lab and be proven to be non-genetically engineered in order to fulfill your contract or to stay within compliance according to your markets. And so currently we have farmers who have tilled under thousands of dollars worth of seed crops, no less our farm who had to destroy $1,000 seed contract about a year ago, understanding that we had genetically engineered sugar beet crop being planted. This was in direct conflict even after the conversation was had with Syngenta Corporation as to whether or not they would be planting on that site. And they confirmed that they were in a week or two's time going to go ahead and proceed with the planting. And sure enough, they did put those sugar beets in the ground and put our farm in a position where we had to make the decision whether or not to continue to grow that out for months to see ultimately to see the seed crop out of it, or till it under and plant something else, not knowing what you know, whether or not we would have the GM technology in our seeds or not, and just essentially have to destroy it as we just made that decision in the beginning.
Elise Hakely, any idea, does anybody have any ideas on numbers of how much land in Jackson County is planted with GMO crops as a percentage of the total agricultural yield?
Well, it's hard because there's not really any transparency with these chemical companies. They won't be transparent. We've seen that with the Seed Growers Association that we tried to start to come up with a coexistence plan to see if we could try and make that work. And what we saw was, you know, many, many farmers throughout the Rogue Valley gathering, trying to see if we could figure out a way to make this work. And when it came down to a fair democratic situation where there was a pinning map, which was suggested by everyone nationwide, is what we do, the players from the large companies didn't want to play that way. They said that's not their model of doing business, and they walked out after many months of trying to figure out a system that was fair for everybody. So it just goes to show us that in our region, we are so vulnerable as family farmers that there's no way to work together with that. We have to decide.
So there were efforts then, you're saying, to reach some accommodation without resorting to legislation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to bring in Leno Rosavilla here. You represent farm workers. What is the concern that farm workers have about GMO crops?
Well, historically has been that probably where we're treated better and where we have a better experience is on small family farms. And what we've seen both in all the places I've worked in, California and Colorado, different places, when you get the corporate interests who are providing pesticides and GMO, they're really set up for corporate farms. And what we're really talking about here and their concern is the survival of the family farms, because we know that this is the farm workers, primarily Mexican Americans that are here, or Mexicans, really know that their livelihood, their future, is based on the future of a family farm and the treatment that they get at those working places. So really, when you talk about this, it's about a very positive community, a community that's great for the farmers and the farm workers. And that's what we're, as farm workers, when I talk to people across Medford and the rest of Jackson County, they say, we want our future secure. And we think the only way that that's going to happen if we secure the future of family farms.
We are talking to Leno Rosavilla, Chris Hardy, and Elise Higley about Jackson County Measure 15-119. That's the GMO crop ban in Jackson County on the May ballot. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Brian in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning. Thanks for the show today. I just wanted to remind your audience that, you know, I mean, you keep saying the anti-GMO campaign, and really that's not the primary focus, as you've heard these speakers tell you. This is about protecting our local farm economy. It's the proper way to refer to it as a family farms measure. And I wish you would help us in getting it framed correctly on the air, because it's not just anti-GMOs. It's really more about supporting our local farm agriculture. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Brian. But Elise Higley, true or false, if your opinion about GMO is no, you're going to vote yes on this measure.
This is correct. Yes for family farms.
All right. So what actually does the measure do, Chris Hardy? What does this simply make it illegal to grow GMO crops anywhere in Jackson County, Oregon?
It would disallow the planting of genetically engineered crops throughout the region, and it would have a 12-month allowance to have your crops shifted over into non-GM.
So there's
crops.
A ramp down period. That was another question then.
Yes, right. Yes, indeed. And it the exclusions would allow medical facilities and research for educational uses. It would allow that, provided those pollens stay within the enclosed structures in a scientific setting where those pollens would not escape.
That sounds like a fairly detailed thing. I looked at the actual text of the entire thing. It's about 8 pages long. Is that even long enough to get into all the realms you're trying to get into here? Because one person's genetic engineering is another person's hybridization, right?
No, it's very clear that it's basically an approved facility by, you know, according to science. You know that those pollens are not going to be allowed to go skipping down the street to the next farmer.
It's contained.
Contained, yes.
All right, let's take another call. We have Nicole in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Chris Hardy, Elise Higley, and Leno Rosavilla, who are in support of Jackson County's GMO measure.
Hello. I have been anti-GMO since the 80s when they first raised the question nationally, and 80% of the people said they don't want it. But this company, Sinedra, I guess it is, or it used to be Monsanto, I guess they've come together. Anyway, they have found a way to go around every single thing with their money, with their millions, that has been brought up about GMOs, and particularly the pollinization and the fact that they cannot be contained. And that's their way of getting rid of the people who grow things organically, because then they can't. And they've just been diabolical in their methods. And I just wish everyone realized this so they could be stopped.
All right.
My main point.
All right. Thanks for that, Nicole. Appreciate it. Chris Hardy, it sounds like she's right along the lines of what you've been talking about.
Yeah. Coexistence is a slippery slope. We know in Jackson County, here in southern Oregon, anywhere in the Rogue Valley with our narrow valleys, from peak to peak at most, we may have 4 miles, 5 miles. And so when you understand that the pollens can travel at least that distance, very clear in the eyes of people who have been working and breeding seeds for years that coexistence will not be is not possible in our valley.
Elise Higley, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just also wanted to mention that it's not just about organic farming. Also, it's about our right to be able to save our own seed. Even if we're not selling our seed, it is my right as a farmer, just like anybody else who grows their garden, to be able to save their seed. And we will not be able to do that and know that it is non-genetically engineered and modified if we have GMO crops or genetically engineered crops growing near us. So if they're growing in this valley, your seeds are going to be contaminated.
So testing is what we're, you know, are we talking about making it obligatory for everyone to have to test their seeds across the valley would be very challenging on our agricultural community.
We're talking to the supporters of Jackson County's proposed GMO crop ban on the May ballot. We'll be talking to opponents on a future program. Right now, we'll talk to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to be able to vote on it, but I'm in your corner on this one. I have two observations. Farming has evolved over my lifetime. I helped build a concrete floor for my grandfather's dairy when I was a little guy. And we had a tractor drawn that had been horse-drawn manure cart. We went and got the basalt rock and did that. So I've been intimately involved with farming over the years. I worked my way through college at the Grange Co-op, blending fertilizer and learning about all of that stuff in the process. We've evolved from actually raising significant amounts of feed crop to commercial farming, basically, as I understand it, being nothing but raising seed beets and a few other specialty seeds. If I'm incorrect on that, then I apologize. So from my perspective, I'm not sure why GMO even needs to be here in the first place. The second observation that I have, or question, I suppose, is how does this, how can this measure go forward in light of what the legislature did in terms of denying local control over whether GMO crops can be raised or not, which, frankly, is one of the strongest reasons for me to support your measure. And I'll stay on the air for a minute and listen.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. That is a major issue. Basically, the state of Oregon shut the door behind you. No other local community can make votes on GMO bans. Is that correct, Chris Hardy?
Yes, that's correct. Senate Bill 633, Senate Bill 863, the same. Actually, the governor signed that here last fall that would prohibit any other county in the state, with the exception of Jackson County, from moving forward with a crop ban.
Paul lives over the line in Josephine County, which then raises the question, is it workable as a county-by-county thing?
County-by-county thing. So,
particularly in the Applegate Valley, I mean, it seems like you'd have, potentially you could have farms right up against each other on the county line.
On the county line. So we would, that is currently happening whether we like it or not, with the GM crops not knowing the county border, they're being grown all over the place. So it's really important to understand the vision of a Rogue Valley that is GM-free. Yes, we are moving towards that direction with Josephine County with an initiative on the May ballot as well. It is really important for us to understand that Jackson County must move forward with this initiative and be successful at it, because we have been given we've been given the graces to make this happen, and if we are successful, there will likely be changes that will affect Josephine County as well. Whether they're successful or not, we do not know, but that's in the works.
Another call here from Sandy in Mount Shasta, obviously also outside Jackson County, but welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Jackson County Measure 15-119, which would ban GMO crops. Hi, Sandy.
Yeah, hi. I also can't vote on this, but I'm definitely in your corner. You know, on top of all the other issues that have already been mentioned, like the contamination of crops that's already happening widely, I'm really concerned about the effects of GMOs on our children's healthy development. I've been studying child development for a while now, and I'm really disturbed. I mean, we already have something like 80,000 chemicals that are affecting children that we haven't sufficiently tested, and now we're adding something like GMOs. And way back in the 1999 Seattle WTO demonstration, David Suzuki even did a teach-in prior to it. He's a scientist who's also a geneticist, and he pointed out how many, if not most, of the theories widely held as true at the beginning of his scientific career were, 10 years later, widely recognized as being deeply flawed and in need of rethinking. And he pointed out, what is the big rush with this stuff here? They are doing everything they can to introduce it into our food stream in a way that will make it completely undetectable should some really serious problems show up down the road. So as a way of protecting themselves from lawsuits. And I think our culture has demonstrated over and over again a kind of really naive acceptance of, quote, progress, unquote, as it's presented to us by giant corporations. And just yesterday I was listening to something on the station about how, tobacco executives were testifying at one point about harmlessness of cigarette smoking time their laboratories were working feverishly on figuring out how to make nicotine more addictive. Mm-hmm. I do not think we can trust these people.
And all right.
Anybody who takes choice out of our hands, I think, is not a friend.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Sandy. Any response from Elise or Chris?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a statement from the pediatrics department saying that pesticides are not safe for children. And the reality is, if we farm with them, they're getting into our water supply and our food supply. And, you know, I also want to note that the non-genetically engineered, you know, crops, those are what we want to bring to our local food supply and our farmers market. Our farmers markets in the Rogue Valley are GMO-free. So everyone who's selling food locally to you at our farmers markets, we're all growing that way. So if you want to support your family farms, your local family farms, people who are living, working on the land, this is why you need to vote yes on this measure.
It is possible, and I'm not saying it's actually happening at all, but it is possible that there might be a family farmer who would like to use GMO seed at some point. And so, you know, you're impacting potentially small farmers as well as the large ones. It's not necessarily just corporations versus family farms. Is it, Chris Hardy?
Well, at this point, we have over 150 farms across the Rogue Valley who have signed in support of the ban. And as Elise was mentioning, we have all of our growers' markets out across the entire region have signed in support of this measure. So it's really, what are those farmer faces that you see every day? Are those the multinational chemical corporation there to feed your family? I don't think so. So I think it's really important to understand what the vision for the Rogue Valley is and what the current growing agricultural model is predominantly in the Rogue Valley. It is not genetically engineering. We have not seen more than a couple cases of genetically engineered farmers showing up anywhere in the county. So if they're out there, you know, let's see them.
Elise?
Right. In fact, when we had the Seed Growers Association, it was interesting that not one farmer came to the meeting. We had, I don't even know how many local farmers came to the meeting. One local genetically engineered GMO farmer show up. It was all the chemical representative companies there. It's like, show us the farmer's face. We want to talk to them.
Let's talk to David in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Elise Higley, Chris Hardy, and Leno Rose Avila.
Good morning. Thank you. I have two questions. One, if the major companies own the genetic material that your seed could potentially be contaminated with, if you have your seed tested, would you in fact actually own it, or would they? And I think this has come up in the Midwest, where farmers are actually being challenged in terms of saving seed, that they don't even own the crops that are growing on their own land because they've been contaminated with someone else's patented product. And number two, what's the position of the wine industry in our area.
All right, so let's get to seed ownership and the wine industry. Let's go to Leno Rosavilla for this one.
I think one of the issues that we've seen across the country with small family farms that they're being sued on a regular basis. There's a whole track record of that by major corporations who have GMO seeds once they cross the line. You know, they don't see borders. They don't see county lines. But I think, you know, to answer one of the questions earlier that we were discussing is that why Rogue Valley? Why Jackson County? I think what the state legislature tried to do was take a little bit of democracy away from the local community. This measure brings back a democratic measure for people to be able to say a voice. And I think once people say yes on this issue, there will be other counties that will want to say yes also. But we got to know that once your seeds are contaminated, people are going to sue to control that seed.
Chris Hardy about the wine industry support. That was the other part of the question.
What was the question?
David wanted to know if the wine industry supports or
at
least
we actually have some really great events coming up with some different wineries that are supportive. And I actually, you can maybe speak, Chris, to some of the science behind it, but pesticides in general, there's all kinds of articles that can be, that are detrimental to grapevines and the wine industry. So even more reason for
okay,
them
let me move on because we have just about a minute left and I want to get 2 points covered. Number one, are you going to be outspent greatly given the financial power of the corporations that have this? And number two, I forget number two. Let's stick with number one.
Yes, at this point, we've already been outspent like big time. There's over $200,000 that have been sunk in to defeating the family farms measure. And it continues to flow in. It's coming from out of state. 99% of the money is from outside of Jackson County. And so where is it coming from? It's coming from chemical corporations. It's coming from the Oregon Farm Bureau and from sugar companies who grow sugar outside of the state of Oregon.
And number two, are you concerned you can end up in court if this passes?
Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
We're going to end up in court if it doesn't pass because our seeds are going to be contaminated.
All right. Measure 15-119 is the GMO crop ban in Jackson County on the May 20th ballot. Thanks to Chris Hardy, Elise Higley, and Leno Rosavilla for laying out the pro side. We'll get to the con side in a future broadcast. Now a break.